Aren't you glad that we serve a God that you can come just to Him and you can find healing and you can find peace and rest for your soul? Amen? Romans chapter 1 this morning. Does anybody need sermon notes? Raise your hand if you didn't get sermon notes. We're all good? Amen. We have the best welcome team on the planet. Thank you guys for doing that, taking care of everybody. Paul had this amazing passion for the gospel. And today we're going to see why. There are some people that just can't help but share about what Jesus has done in their life. You can make fun of them. You can run them out of town. You can say whatever you want to say about them, but they're still going to share the good news of Jesus Christ. They're still going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today we're going to see why, beginning with verse 14. Paul says, I'm under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians. What's a barbarian? A barbarian is someone who's considered uncivilized, unrefined, uneducated, uncultured. There's a few of y'all here this morning. Never mind. But Paul says, I'm under obligation both to Greeks and barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So for my part, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Paul gets something right here, by the way. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so whether you're Greek, you're barbarian, you're wise, you're foolish, number one in your notes, the gospel puts us all on level ground. The gospel of Jesus Christ puts us all on level ground. We are all equally lost without it, and we are all equally saved by it. The gospel of Jesus Christ puts us all on level ground at the foot of the cross because we are all equally lost without it, and we are all equally saved by it. You see, the gospel is the great equalizer. Sometimes we like to think of ourselves as better than other people in certain areas. And we like to think that our sins are not as bad as others. I may be a sinner, but I'm a better sinner than you are. But the gospel of Jesus Christ reminds us that we're all lost. We're all lost without Jesus Christ, and we can do nothing, John 15:5, without Jesus Christ. And right off the bat, Paul makes it clear to this church in Rome that he's not preaching the gospel for personal reasons. He's not preaching the gospel because it's pleasing to the people even that are hearing it. He's under obligation. You see, Paul was lost. Lost as a goose, but he had been found. Paul was blind. He was blind as a bat. He was fighting against the gospel. But now he can see. Paul was a prisoner. He was a prisoner of the culture that he had grown up in. He was a prisoner of gigantic mistakes that he had made in his life, but now, thanks to the gospel of Jesus Christ, he's been set free. In fact, the Bible says that Paul was the worst of all sinners. He was the worst of all sinners who found mercy and found grace, and through Jesus Christ became the greatest of apostles. He wouldn't say that about himself. He would say that he was the least of the apostles. But there's nobody that God used more than Paul. But Paul understood what many miss. I'm no better than anybody else. All ground is level at the foot of the cross. There's no bragging rights at the foot of the cross. There's no competition at the foot of the cross. You see, the gospel reminds us that we're all in the same boat. Each of us equally lost without the gospel, and each of us equally saved by the gospel. In fact, Paul told the church in Corinth, there in your notes, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I am under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this voluntary, I have a reward, but even if it's against my will, I have a stewardship that has been entrusted to me." So Paul says, in effect, in verse 17, I preach the gospel whether I feel like it or not, because it's been entrusted to me. In other words, Paul says, I have been called by Christ Jesus Himself to be a steward of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And a steward is always under obligation to his master. A good steward is always under obligation to his boss. And only a poor steward, only the poorest of stewards, does what he's supposed to do when he feels like doing it. So Paul was under obligation. And Paul understood something. The gospel puts us all on level ground. That's the only way he could do what he did, because he had made so many giant mistakes. He had crucified people, killed people, imprisoned people for the gospel, but now he's been forgiven and he's been set free. And now he's preaching the gospel. And the gospel puts us all on level ground, because we're all equally lost without it and equally saved by it. And then secondly, in your notes this morning, Paul's passion for sharing the gospel. Look what he says in verse 15. I am eager to preach the gospel. Paul's passion for sharing the gospel came from his intimacy with Christ. It came from his own personal relationship with Christ, his own personal time with Christ. The Bible says that Paul was not only willing to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, but he was eager to share it. And the reason for this was the intimacy he shared with his Savior. That personal time with Christ was Paul's number one priority. Nothing mattered more to him. Intimacy with Christ was the ultimate goal of Paul's life. In fact, that's why God used him so much. Listen to the passion in his voice in Philippians 3:10 there in your notes. My determined purpose is that I may know Jesus Christ, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly. We see the same passion in the life of King David, who made so many brutal mistakes. He had a deep longing for intimacy with God. In fact, he desired to know and obey God more than anything else in life, and that's the reason God called him a man after my own heart. Can you imagine the Lord saying that about you? He is a man, she is a woman after my own heart. That person desires to know me and obey me more than anything else. And David said in Psalm 27:4, the one thing I want from God, if you could ask one thing from God, if you could say, God, this is what I want more than anything else, what would it be? Paul said, the one thing I want from God, the thing that I seek most of all, David said, is the privilege of meditating in his temple. What was he meditating on? the Word of God. The privilege of meditating in His temple, living in His presence every day of my life. David wanted living in God's presence to be a way of life, delighting in His incomparable perfections and glory. David considered it a privilege to be in the Word of God, not a duty. Not something that he had to do, but something that he couldn't wait to do. So that he could live in the presence of God every day. And then in Psalm 63, he says, "In your generous love," listen to what he says here, this is interesting, "I am really living at last. My lips brim praises for you like fountains." And so David is saying, after all these years, I have finally found what I've been longing for. And it's an intimate love relationship with my Creator. And that is what really brings meaning and purpose in my life, David says. I've tried to fill my life with all kinds of things to make me happy. But all the possessions, all the pleasure, all the popularity, all the prestige, all the people, he had so many women he didn't know what to do with himself, and all the power in the world will not bring contentment, David says. Only intimacy with Christ fulfills my deepest longing in life. And that's why David sought to live in the Lord's presence daily. That's why he meditated on God's perfection, God's word, God's glory every day. In fact, he says this was the number one purpose of his life because everything else had failed to satisfy him. And that's why no one praised God like David did. David had committed adultery. David had committed murder. But he had been forgiven. He had been set free. Paul was the worst of all sinners. But he had found forgiveness, and he had found freedom in Jesus Christ. And that's why no one shared the gospel like the Apostle Paul. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." So even when Paul didn't feel like it, he preached the good news of Jesus Christ. In fact, even when he was in danger, the Bible says, even when he knew danger was waiting for him, he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look what he says in Acts 20 there in your notes. "And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me." As I was studying this week, I began to ask myself, would you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? Would you go to Hamilton and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ if you knew you were going to be imprisoned? If you knew you were going to be laughed at, run out, put in prison, beaten, whatever, would you go and would you preach the good news of Jesus Christ? Listen to what Paul says in verse 24. "But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and my ministry that I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Verse 14, the gospel puts us all on level ground. One of the things that we have to understand, and we have to understand this on a daily basis, is that we're all equally lost without it. We are all in desperate need of Jesus Christ. We are all in desperate need of saving. And then we're all equally saved by it. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. And then in verse 15, Paul's passion for sharing the gospel came from his intimacy with Christ. He didn't just somehow will his way into this. He didn't somehow just, gain strength from himself or look within and say, this is what I need to do. It came from his intimacy with his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And number three, Paul refused to be ashamed or intimidated from sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul was eager to preach. Listen to this. Think about this in the context of the culture we live in right now. Paul was eager to preach this super unpopular gospel. He was eager to go to Rome, which was the ruler at that time of the pagan world, and preach this super unpopular gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, one commentator says, Paul was never deterred by opposition, he was never disheartened by criticism, and never ashamed for any reason of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ can do that in a man's life. Only Jesus Christ can do that in a person's life. And yet the Bible tells us that the gospel was a stumbling block to the Jews, and it was to the Gentiles, just like it is in our culture today. The gospel is a stumbling block to many people in our culture, and the gospel is foolishness to many people in our culture. But Paul understood something very, very important. It's the power of God for salvation to those who will believe it. And Paul's passion was to serve his God, and he understood that that meant serving others in Christ's name. And that's one of the things I'm thankful for about you, GBF. I'm thankful that you're willing to serve other people, that you have this passion for serving other people in Christ's name. It was such an incredible blessing to watch you guys bring all this baby stuff up here and put it on the corner of the stage over the last several weeks for Wesley and Corey White. And you did it in Jesus' name, and you did it for His glory, not because you felt like you had to. And that family was blown away when I got to the hospital and visited with them. They were blown away by your love, by the love that this church, their family in Christ, showed them. And the men of our Wednesday night Bible study decided last Wednesday night that we're going to gather as turkeys and hams and canned goods, as many of that stuff as we can, and we're going to deliver it all to Adult Teen Challenge. Because we want to see those people at Adult Teen Challenge have a great Thanksgiving and have a great Christmas. And we're doing it all for the glory of God and for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but that's like really exciting to me. That's what gets me pumped up. Now, I'm not a big jump up and down, yell and scream type guy, and you can figure that out probably without any problem. But in here, that's what gets me really excited. That I get to be part of a family that's willing to show other people the love of Jesus Christ. Because we get it. We realize that we're all just as lost as the day is long without Jesus Christ. But at the same time, it's the power of God for salvation to those who believe it. And so all of us can be part of that. And by sharing the love of Jesus Christ, God could use you to open up one more person's heart to the gospel, to be saved, to have eternal life. Some guy could be sitting there thinking to himself, man, we could be having hot dogs for Thanksgiving. They eat a lot of hot dogs at Adult Teen Challenge. But we're having a full course meal because some people decided to get all this stuff together and haul it all the way over to that, I don't remember the name of that town anymore, west side of Fort Worth. And then that dude might ask Jeff Johnson, or he might ask Bodie Parks, why would these people do this? What makes these people do this? And then they could reply, because of the love of Jesus Christ. Because of the love of Jesus Christ in their hearts, these people are passionate for serving Christ, and they understand that serving Christ means serving other people in His name and for His glory. And the Apostle Paul was eager to serve the Lord, and he understood that it included serving other people in Christ's name, even if it meant his own peril. And he would not let criticism, he would not let opposition, and he would not let shame stop him from sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." Some of you may know who Tim Tebow is. He now plays for the Mets instructional team in baseball. And the other day he was up to bat and he was hit in the ribs by the pitcher. And Tebow ran to the mound like this. Well, everybody thought, okay, we're going, man. So this dugout emptied and this dugout emptied and the pitcher went like this. Tebow, 6'3", 255 pounds, ran out there and threw his arms around the pitcher and says, "Man, I forgive you. I know you didn't mean to do that." And you may think to yourself, you know what, isn't that a little over the top? I mean, this is a baseball game. Isn't that getting a little crazy? Isn't that getting a little out of control? Listen to the rest of the story. This dugout comes to the mound. This dugout comes to the mound. And the umpire decides, hey, man, we got to get on with the game. So he goes out there and announces to everybody that it's time to move on with the baseball game. And everybody there is listening to Tim Tebow tell the pitcher how he can have forgiveness and how he can be forgiven and be set free from everything he's ever done wrong in his life and how he can have eternal life. You see, Tim Tebow gets it. I've been given this stage for a reason. And it's way bigger than anything about Tim Tebow. It's not about me making a name for myself. It's not about how much money I can get out of this deal. But it's about me sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you a question. How many of the guys that went to the mound do you think are ever going to forget what he said? Zero. Whether they liked it or whether they didn't, I'd be willing to bet that those people will remember that for the rest of their lives. And Tim Tebow understands something. The whole playing field is level at the foot of the cross. We all need Jesus Christ. I'm not 1 ounce better than anybody else. Paul refused to be ashamed, and he refused to be intimidated from sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And last, Paul never compromised the gospel to make it more popular. Paul never compromised the gospel of Jesus Christ to make it more popular. And we live in a world today that is becoming more and more opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, to many in our society today, the gospel of Jesus Christ is downright repulsive. The gospel exposes sin and calls it wicked. The gospel exposes man's sin and calls it evil. The gospel calls men and women to repent, to confess your sins, and agree with God that you are a sinner and in desperate need of salvation. And until you do, you're lost. You are lost and without hope. The gospel says you can never be good enough, or you can never do enough good to earn God's favor. You need Jesus Christ to do it for you. And so for the unsaved person, the gospel of Jesus Christ oftentimes is bad news until he has nowhere else to turn. And therefore, the one presenting the gospel honestly may be treated with contempt. Paul certainly was. He or she may even be despised for even suggesting such a thing. They may even be insulted for sharing their beliefs. In fact, the fear of rejection and ridicule prevents many Christians from ever sharing their beliefs. The fear of rejection and ridicule prohibits many Christians from ever talking about their faith outside of the safety of these walls that we sit in right here today. And therefore, the people they work with, the people they play with, continue to go on with life without hearing the good news of Jesus Christ that could give them forgiveness and eternal life. Even churches have tried to make the gospel more appealing through what we call the health and wealth gospel. And if the health and wealth gospel were true, then the Apostle Paul missed it altogether. If the health and wealth gospel were true, Paul didn't get it. He missed the gospel. Because during his ministry, he was imprisoned in Philippi. He was chased out of Thessalonica. He was smuggled out of Damascus. He was laughed at in Athens. He was considered a fool in Corinth and declared a blasphemer and lawbreaker in Jerusalem. And finally, he was stoned and left for dead in Lystra. So much for health and wealth, amen? Yet the health and wealth gospel has swept across America. Why? Because it's not offensive. In fact, it offers what the world longs for, health and wealth. But this is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jeffrey Wilson writes, "The unpopularity of a crucified Christ has prompted many to present a message which is more acceptable to the unbeliever. But the removal of the offense of the cross always renders the message ineffective. The power's gone." One pastor reports of speaking at a youth rally where the rally director's wife approached him after the event and said to him, "Your message offended me. You preached as if all these young people here are sinners." And the pastor replied, "I'm glad it came across that way because that's exactly the message I wanted to communicate." Paul's greatest aim was to see people saved from their sins, just like he had been. He wanted people to live in the same peace and the same freedom that he had found in Jesus Christ. And he pushed aside his own comfort, he pushed aside his popularity, and he pushed aside his reputation to see it happen. And he never compromised the gospel message because he knew it was the power of God for salvation to everyone who believed. Only the gospel, as told in the scripture, has the power to change people's stories forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we thank you for your truth and we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is such a privilege and a blessing to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with other people. And we just praise your name for that amazing opportunity. Lord, help us to understand the things that we've talked about today, the things that we've seen in your word from Romans 14 through 16. Maybe you're here today and you might want to pray a prayer something somewhat like this. Heavenly Father, I pray today that you would help me to desire intimacy with you more than anything else in this life. I want to know you and become progressively, deeply, and intimately acquainted with you. I want to understand your love, your mercy, your grace, and your glory more strongly and more clearly than ever before. And like David, help me to long to know you and obey your word. Or maybe you're here today and you would say, you know what, I have no idea what it's really like to have a personal relationship with Christ. I have no idea what it's like to have intimacy with Jesus Christ, to know God that way. Maybe you might want to pray a prayer somewhat like this. And again, these are not magic words. The only thing that matters is that you mean it in your heart. You can say it in your own way. God, I have no idea what it's like to have a personal, intimate relationship with you, but I want to. I want to know you like Paul knew you. I want to know you like David knew you. I want that kind of relationship. I want the kind of relationship that Tim Tebow has. And today I want to begin. I want to put my faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I'm asking you, I admit today that I'm a sinner and that my sin has separated me from you. And I'm asking you to forgive me for my sins. I'm asking you to forgive me for playing God and running my own life all these years. I'm tired. Today I'm here and I'm tired and I'm ready to surrender to your leadership in my life. So I'm asking you to save me today. And help me to start growing as a believer in Jesus Christ.